welcome to round one eve edition of the Tragic Rugby League Report. I'm your host tonight, Declan McCutcheon, and I am joined, as always, by James Rutkin. James, are you excited?
Oh, Teamless Tuesday's back. How good. I'm so keen. I'm always keen every year for footy, but there's just something about this season. Fantasy draft is all done. Teamless Tuesday's out. It's officially back.
Yeah, it's very excited, very excited. Unfortunately, no Zach tonight. He said he had the man flu, and it's coming off Mardi Gras, so a little bit suspect, but we'll just leave it at that. So he will not be with us tonight, but he has sent our top eight, and we'll go through it along with our other ones. So how are you feeling about your predictions before we go into it?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm still backing. Obviously, they're locked in, so we can't change them. The only thing I probably regret after the most recent trials is my prediction of Dolphins at 12th. That's the only thing I'm a bit shaky on. But it's a long season, so we'll see how they go.
Yep. And then just before we start with that, how are you feeling about fantasy? Because for everyone that doesn't know, we did a draft on Friday night, and we went from an 8-person league to a 12-person league, which is like very vicious in my opinion, from my perspective.
It is, and it certainly made a difference. Like, people were definitely smarter this year in the draft. Like, last year I looked at my team, I'm like, this is stacked as. I had Munster and Turbo last season, which is just crazy that I was able to get both of them. I actually prefer not having an early pick in the draft, because then you have to wait like 20 minutes before your next pick. So, for example, my first pick was Cameron Munster, which obviously you got to be happy with. And I think my second one was Hudson Young at like pick 22. I'm a bit thin in quite a few positions at the moment, but yeah, I sort of left my middles right until the very end. So my last three picks were quite literally all my middles. And I've got a stack of really good edges, which is fantastic because there's only two edge spots available. So a bit of interesting choice making there, but we'll see how we go.
Yeah, just quickly, who do you have virus remorse for? Like, who did you like take? And you're just like, why did I take them?
Probably maybe someone like Jack Bird. I think I was a little bit early on him. I went Mitch Kenny at hooker as well, and I think I regret that as a choice. Not sure how many minutes he's going to be playing with. Is it Sonny Luke that's going to be coming on for him?
Yeah, Sonny Luke, yeah. So they'll probably split it like last year they did with Appy, Mitch Kenny.
Yeah. Zach's promised me that this is Isaac Thompson. Yeah, Zach's promised me this guy's going to be a gun. Yeah. He averaged a whopping 6 fantasy points in his trial hit out. So,
I was going to draft him as well. Then I saw that, and South pumped him as well. So it wasn't even like they played bad.
Yeah. Like, Zach said to me, he's like, mate, he only played about 30 minutes. And I'm like, right. So he would have scored what, 12? Like, it's practically got a double. So we'll keep an eye out on him. It's Zach's a wise footy man, but sometimes he can be blinded by his love for the red and green.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. So moving on from that, do you want to give me your top eight?
So I'm just give you my straight top eight.
Yeah, I reckon. Yeah. And I'll just pick apart why you're wrong.
All right. Well, did we finish did we do ninth in the last episode?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've predicted Eels to come ninth. My top eight is as follows. Hang on. We went through the bottom four and where we thought they would go. So I already had a few people, like I've already announced that I think Tigers will be eighth and Broncos will be seventh. But I'll just continue anyway. Sixth, I have Storm. I think they're going to miss the top four this year. I think they're going to struggle a little bit. Really wasn't impressed with their 17. We'll get into the team list in a little bit. But yeah, really wasn't impressed with their overall 17 outside of the spine. Fifth, I have Cowboys. Fourth, I have Sharks. Three, I have Rabbitohs. Asterix, I think they're going to be way outside the top eight after the first 10 games, but I think they're going to come home strong. Roosters second, and I think Panthers will finish the regular season first.
So you're not high on the Bunnies so far?
Well, I've got them coming third, and I actually have them winning the comp in general. I But I think they're going to struggle to start the season. They often do start a little bit slow. And I want to watch Zach squirm for the opening 10 rounds. But they've got a really tough draw early on, and they've got quite a few injuries at the moment as well. But yeah, their first, I don't know, their first, like, the opening month is actually ridiculous for them. We've got like Sharks, Penrith, Roosters, Seagulls, who could be anything, Storm. Yeah, it's a pretty rough opening month or two for them. But yeah, I think they're going to finish strong and finish third.
Yeah, also less, don't really have any critiques for it. So I'll just say, I'll move on to May and then we'll read Zach's out. So obviously, the Raiders finished at 8th last season. I think they'll slide out just based on the fact that they lost to the Tigers. Wait, do you have a question?
No.
Oh, you just have your hand up. Just
sorry, yeah, I'm just sitting comfortably.
Okay.
It puts my hand up like this. It's just sort of curled underneath my chin.
Okay. So, yeah, so I think I said before, I expect the Broncos to make the top 8. I just think they've got too much talent, and surely they just can't implode like they did last season, especially if Reece Walsh plays the entire season. I think they're a huge shout for the top 8. Bunnies, yeah, I agree with you. I think they'll move into the top 4. Right now, I've got them at 3rd place. Sydney Roosters, like, they, it's amazing how last season that they, you know, had a bit of a sluggish start. They still managed to make the top 8. And I've got them moving up to the top 4 as well. I think I've got them finishing 2nd. I think Brandon Smith is going to be a huge addition for them. I think he's exactly what they need. And then the Storm, I'm a little bit bullish on the Storm still. I still think they'll be really good. They've got a lot of good young players coming through, but they probably don't have, you know, the solid veterans that weren't necessarily superstars when they left, but, you know, they really, like, brought the consistency. So I think I've got them finishing 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, they came 5th last season, like, missed the top 4, but I do still back them to make that top 4 spot. And then, like, moving on to the Eels, I think I still got them on my 8. I think I'm going to go 7th for the Parramatta Eels, just purely because they haven't really replaced Reid Manny effectively. Like, Josh Hodgson, he was a great hooker in his day, but, you know, like, when your knees are gone, you know, that tends to happen with age, and based on how he trialed, I didn't really see a lot to alleviate my worries. But, you know, I could be wrong on that one, because, you know, they've still got a great spine. Like, all their back rowers from last season are either gone or suspended for round 1, which is really, really interesting. Although Hopgood, I think he's going to be a great addition for them. So I've got them finishing, I'm going to put them at 7th. And then the North Queensland Cowboys, I think they'll slide a little bit. I still expect them to make the top 8, but I've got them at 6. And then the Cronulla Sharks, like, I actually saw them at Belmore after the Tigers game, and they looked very, very impressive. Just how they're able to absorb the pressure from the build-up in a very hostile environment at Belmore, and it didn't really look like it disturbed them. And obviously the Nicol Hynes injury is a little bit of a worry, but he'll be back. It doesn't look too long-term. So I've got them finishing 6. And then, obviously, Penrith Panthers, they had a bit of a rough start to the preseason with them going down to St. Helens, but I still expect them to finish 1st in the regular season. But I'm also not tipping them to win the comp, though. I don't want to go, like, straight ducks here with you guys about South. I reckon it'll be a South Roosters grand final, and I would like to hold judgment on who I think is going to win that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think it's going to be a South Penrith. A South Roosters final. I think if Penrith make the grand final, they'll have enough experience there to win again. But I have a feeling they're going to get knocked out in the finals, and it'll be Souths. I wonder if everyone's saying this just because we're all so sick of Penrith winning and we don't want a three-peat.
Look, that's definitely a small part of it. But I think that last year, Kickout on that left edge, he created so much space for them, because I think that's why guys like Tego and guys like, you know, Tyler May, they look so good because, you know, it was so hard to mark them, but then also mark Kicker at the same time. And then Appy Corso, he just created so much space as well for Nathan Cleary, Jerome Luai, and his forwards as well. So, like, you take guys like that who create so much space and havoc for defenders, I think they're going to struggle a little bit, because I don't think Luke Garner is the exact kind of player. Which is, you know, goes without saying. And plus, I think Mitch Kenny's a bit of a workhorse, but he's not really as creative as Appy. So they've definitely got some some things they need to work on, but they'll still be good. They'll still finish top four. I feel pretty confident in that.
I think so too. And I just think the physical style that they play, as well as so many of them playing in the World Cup too, I imagine that they're going to be quite fatigued, especially come the playoffs, like, because they're going to have another good season. I'm sure they'll be good, not as good as last year, but I reckon come the postseason, they'll very much feel as though they are not as good as they were last year.
Yeah, and plus every team is going to like go after them as well every single week. They're going to be the team that's hunted this season. And last year, they also were, to be fair, but it didn't really matter because they were a lot better than everyone else pretty much the entire year. But I think now that they've lost two pretty crucial players, I think they'll come down a little bit.
Definitely, definitely agree.
Okay, so we'll just quickly move on to Zach's team before we preview round one. And the first thing I asked Zach for when for his topic, he said, so Bunnies are going to win the comp, obviously. I was like, I didn't ask you that. I asked you your top eight for the regular season. And he was like, oh, okay, sorry. I just thought you should know. So, so Zach's got the Broncos finishing eighth, Parramatta finishing seventh, the Storm finishing sixth. So he's with you. I think he thinks they're going to slide a little bit more than I potentially do. Sharks fifth. I think they've got a really good run, so I could see that happening. Cowboys fourth, so he's still quite high on them. Bunnies third, Roosters second, which would hurt him, and then Penrith first. So this is just regular season. Mm-hmm. And then he said it's going to be a Bunnies-Roosters grand final. And he also wanted to say that Josh Drinkwater will be a smoky for the Dally M.
Scott.
What did I say?
Josh.
Oh, well, you know, Josh, he's just killing it right now.
His younger brother is going to come in the league and just overtake him. He's going to say, Todd, put me on, and he's going to win Dally M.
Yeah, sorry, Scott Drinkwater to win Dally M, which is an interesting one because, I don't know, it looks like the Cowboys have a pretty good draw this year as well as last year. So I'm not so sure I would predict that, but it's definitely...
I think it's a straight-up shit take. I think it's a terrible take. That's not happening. Scott Drinkwater's not getting Dally M. What's Jack... What's Zachy doing?
I don't know. Who's your weekend? Jermaine Spry, your early prediction for Dally M?
Oh, I just don't think wingers get enough points. I don't know if he has that many hat tricks in him. We'll see. He'll probably finish. He's obviously a lock for top 10. I think that it'll be... I'm going to go with something boring like Munster. I think Munster will get a stack of points, especially with Pap out.
Yeah, that's a good one. I reckon it'll be a Roosters player. I reckon
Tedesco.
No, I think Tedesco. I think he's at the point where he's probably going to save himself for the big games because he has at the kind of back end of his career and he doesn't.
He'll still score a stack of tries, but I just think there's too much talent spread around that Roosters team for it to go to anyone there.
That's a good one. Actually, maybe I'll back Cody Walker from the Bunnies.
See, yeah, I've always thought, because I was considering going Latrell. I've gone Latrell the last few seasons. But yeah, again, there's just so many people that will take points out. Like, there's no way Cameron Murray or Cody is just going to take some chunk of points out. It needs to be someone that, like, is consistently the best player every single week. So I'm going to go Munster, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was Cleary.
Yeah. I just think that Latrell, there's always that risk of suspension as well.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah. And then, you know, I think Elias is going to be a lot more settled. So I think that kind of frees up Cody Walker a little bit just to kind of do his thing. And hopefully, you know, he keeps his cool for most of the season because, as we know, he likes to have a bit of a blow up.
Yeah, he loves it. He loves getting angry.
He does. He really does. And Zach was saying, like, he was telling me that apparently he doesn't just do it on the field. Like, he does it in, like, training drills.
Yeah, Jai Arrow said in the bloke podcast that he just gets, like, angry at everyone constantly.
I would hate that. Have you ever had like a cranky halfback just on your ass all the time when you make a mistake? I'd imagine that's what it feels like.
Absolutely. Mm. Ash Doggett, high school, man was on me constantly if I ever dropped the ball. Give me a big old spray.
Yep. Definitely a similar quality players, I reckon, those two. But.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm surprised he's not going to be debuting this season.
Yep, no, absolutely not. All right, so that's our predictions over. So, yeah, I'll post everyone's predictions on the Instagram page just so that we can't pretend towards the end of the year that we changed when we actually said something. So it's a good way to keep us all accountable, which I'm very excited
for. Keeping notes. Love it.
Yeah. So, there's not really... Is there anything that's caught your eye over the week for the NRL, it's been pretty quiet in terms of like actual news. It's kind of just excitement, isn't it?
It's excitement mixed with like a bunch of people that are going down like flyers with things that potentially you wouldn't hear about. Like this Nico Hines calf strain, you might not hear about it as much if it's during the off season because he'll just recover. But that's a big out for the Sharks, like hearing that. I'm sure they'll be fine over the next few weeks. They're still a solid team, but that's huge. And Thompson for the Bulldogs out for 6 months.
Yeah, that's a big one because they're a front row depth, but they've got Ryan Sutton, Franklin Perley. He's really good. But, you know, you look at those other teams, like even the Tigers and the Titans, you know, they're really stacked for the middles and especially the top teams as well. So that'll be a really interesting one. And the Bulldogs, when I saw them play, they looked very left side dominant. It didn't really look like they had a lot to the right. So I think that having someone like Thompson out is going to put more pressure on that left side to come up with the goods, which should be interesting.
All right. Do you rate Ryan Sutton?
Ryan Sutton? Yeah, he's solid, isn't he? He's not like a first class prop. It's definitely like an NRL standard middle for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Into my fantasy team, he goes.
Is he undrafted?
I don't know. I'll have to check. But yeah, I had Thompson in my team. So that was a big out. Yeah. Not really. It's still my middles are weak enough as they are. I have to get someone good.
Yeah, dude. And that's the thing for a 12-man league. There's not like a lot of like players that went undrafted. Like a lot of the players that are there now are just not good. They're just not going to become draftable anytime soon.
Definitely. It's interesting with like rookie props as well. Usually they start coming off the bench and they sort of get eased into the game. It's an easier position to ease someone in because like if you're a position that can come off the bench, it's easier than say like a winger or someone who's like thrown straight into the 17. So it's not like there's going to be many rookie props that are going to come out and like be starting in the next week.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, because I had Spencer Leonard last year and like a lot of the time like they might start really well but then their minutes kind of go down as well, so they're a little bit inconsistent.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Especially a team that's dominating.
Yeah, which wasn't the Tigers last year, but we'll be on Sunday. We'll be on Sunday. But all right, do you want to move on to round one preview?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, too easy. So this is actually a really interesting debut game for the season. It's the Parramatta Eels versus the Melbourne Storm at CommBank Stadium. Now, traditionally, it's usually like the premiers that play this game. So it's interesting they went to the Eels and the Storm. The Storm are favourites at Sportsbet for 176 and Parramatta at 207, which is pretty good odds for the Storm, I reckon. What do you reckon for this game? You said before we recorded that you weren't too impressed with the Storm team.
Not overly. I really am not too crash hot on Nick Meaney at fullback. I'm aware they have injuries, obviously, but just this current team that's out, they've got like a bunch of workers, but there's just not that classic Melbourne Storm like 17 that strikes fear into you where you look at every player and go, oh dear, they're going to tear us to shreds. I'm not very impressed by this Storm lineup. I mean, they could always be good, but I'm going to favour Parra to come out and make a statement after the grand final loss.
Yeah, I think the Storm for the last few years have put a lot of money into keeping their spine. They pretty much managed to keep everyone that they wanted to. You know, there was some talk that they were going to lose Munster, but they managed to keep them. And it looks like their team is starting to suffer in terms of like centres, wingers and like edge forwards because they've had to try and find a little bit more value in the kind of, some of the kind of cheaper guys like, you know, Arena Smith, Young Tony Mapia. So it'll be really interesting to see how they go and if the spine can kind of compensate for that lack of strike in those key positions. And then obviously for the Eels, it's a pretty settled team, except for the back row, which is anything but settled. Like everyone from the grand final is either gone from the club or suspended, and it's a completely new team. I think this is Matt Dury's first game in a very long time. He played for the Bulldogs a little bit, but then did his ACL a few years ago. So it's good to see him back in first grade. And we kind of talked about before, I think Jermaine Hopgood, I think he's going to be a really good player. He was killing it in New South Wales Cup for the Penrith last year. And I think this is a great signing for them. I tend to agree with you. I think that it's at Parramatta Stadium. The Eels have actually had a pretty good record against the Storm, even when they were full strength as well. So
yeah,
So yeah, I'm going to tip the Eels as well. So I think there's a bit of value to be had for the Eels in this one.
Zach has sent to me that he is going to tip the Eels as well. So I think that's all three of us going Eels. And yeah, I'm not, obviously it's just one game. I think they can get through it with the back row uncertainty. What happens when Madison comes back in? Does he go in a second row and leave Jermaine Hopgood at lock?
Well, I think this is what I would do. I'm not too sure what the Eels would do, but I think if Hopgood plays really well, like he's, you know, he's like one of the best players for the Eels, I would put Madison back to 12. But then if Hopgood, you know, kind of doesn't kill it, I would probably put Madison back to 13 because I think that 13 is his best position, to be fair.
Even off the bench, his offload, you always want to play with an offload off the bench for once the Stings come out of the game. So I could back Madison coming there, but I'm fairly confident Hopgood will be good. He looked insanely good in the trials.
Yeah, he does. He has good. And he really fits into that Parramatta system. Like, he's really gritty, consistent, tough. Like, kind of what Brad Arthur's built over those past years. So he's a really good recruit from that sense as well. And just before we move on from this game, I would just like to pinpoint a rookie, because me and Zach were talking, we want to like identify a lot of the young players coming through the league. Keep an eye out for Will Warbrick. He's a New Zealand sevens player that the Storm signed, has huge raps on him. I think he went to the Olympics, or like he was part of the system at the time, and it was a huge get for the Storm when he signed for them. He didn't play last season, which I was kind of surprised at because they had a big outside back shortage, but he looked really good in the trials, and he's on my fantasy team, so hopefully he goes well.
Storm are always very cool-headed about not rushing people in before they're ready, aren't they? Like, they make a very point that they'd rather put in like a 6 or a 7 out of 10 player that's got that experience that's NRL ready than a raw 9 out of 10 talent in.
Yeah, well, look at Harry Grant. He's a perfect example. Yeah. He debuted when he was 22, but he probably could have debuted 18 months earlier for another club, but when he came in, he was ready to go. So, yeah, 100% agree with you there. All right, shall we move on to the second game?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we got the New Zealand Warriors at Sky Stadium, Wellington, v. the Newcastle Knights. What do you reckon for this game?
It's going to be interesting. Keen to see what Warriors side comes out in their home ground. Knights will also be looking to make a point too. It's going to be, this is one of the harder ones for me to tip because I feel like it's going to be one of those classic games where whatever you tip, the opposite will happen. You'll go, oh, of course, that was obviously going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, of course the Warriors win in their first game at home. Or, of course, Knights with this reinvigorated spinal win. I think it's really, really difficult to get a read early on because I think the Warriors will struggle. But, like, we do know that they've been historically quite good at home, especially opening round. I'm sure they'll come out firing. And if Knights are able to match that, I can see them winning. But I just have a feeling that the Warriors are going to edge out on this one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the Knights, it's going to be a bit of a project. I don't think they're going to hit the ground running. Especially in it just seems like when the Tigers played there, it was a little bit more difficult to kind of throw the ball around and like really play that kind of structured attack, which I think the Knights will probably fall into a little bit. And plus, if I'm the Warriors, I'm just going to run Caitlin Ponga with my second rows and my centers pretty much all night. So I think it's going to be a bit of a rough start for the Knights. So I agree with you. I'm going to tip the Warriors here.
Surprised that they didn't end up putting Marzu in the side for the Knights. They've gone with the winger pairing of Dominic Young, who was obviously going to lock down a spot, and Heimel Hunt as well. Clearly, it's probably a defensive thing because offensively, you take Marzu every day of the week over Hunt.
It's weird as well because they gave up Chris Randall, like pretty good hooker depth to get him. So you'd imagine that they had plans to play him in the starting team. So yes, it's interesting. And Heimel Hunt, he's been there for a while and he's not so solid. Yeah, he's a depth player at this point, I reckon, but it'd be interesting. I think that
maybe Marzu got injured, or it wouldn't surprise me if the Knights signed him as like a project to try and improve his defense, and like the Titans realized at a point that there was no improving the defense because a lot of it's attitude based. And if someone doesn't want to, you know, develop and push that grit in their game, then there's not much that can happen. But I'm sure we'll get a crack at some point in the season. And offensively, the Knights will be boosted when he's popped in. But just even looking at their at the forwards, they are a forward pack that's solid, but I just think it's gotten a little bit stale. You know, I wasn't impressed with either of the Saifidis in the preseason. Good to have Jaden Brayley back, but I don't know, just things like Frizzell, I feel like they need a little bit of, someone new in there to blood at some point in the season, because losing Clemmer is probably going to be quite big for them.
They need more X factor in the forward pack.
Yeah.
Because, I agree with you 100%. The Saifidi brothers have stalled a bit. Like, they've both played Origin, so they're great players. But in terms of club form, I think they both struggled Big Ten last year. And I agree with you. I think Clemmer held a lot in terms of his consistency for them last season. And he kind of hid the fact that they probably weren't going as good as, you know, their pay probably suggested. And yeah, on Greg Mazu, like, it's interesting you say that he's a project. I don't think Adam O'Brien has a lot of luxury at the moment for taking on projects. I think he's kind of got to win now, which is really interesting because you look at this team and, you know, they also signed Adam Elliott, who I thought was going to be a startup for like 13. So I thought he played really well there for the Raiders, but he's on the bench. Yeah. Great sign.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
And Jack Hetherington as well, although apparently he's coming back from an injury. So that makes sense as to why they'd want to ease him back into it. But yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Rock. And I think they do need just a little bit more of explosiveness in the forward pack and maybe the center outside backs as well.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm interested to see. The more I talk about it, the more convinced I am that Warriors will get this first win.
Yeah. I think we've talked each other into it, to be fair.
Yeah, so, very true.
All right, so we're both going to go Warriors.
Zach has also gone Warriors. I actually was incorrect in reading out before. He's going to go Storm for round one. So he's going Storm. We're both going Para.
Mate, you had one job. Just to
I had one job, but it was to read out the team. I just read out the wrong. I don't know what's going on there. But yeah, very, very interested to see how Hastings and Ponga will link up. And offensively, I know exactly what Ponga is going to bring at 5'8", but I'm really keen to see how he handles being in the frontline defense with all players like Fanua Blake and Barnett charging at him all game.
Yeah, that's very true. And I reckon he will have like two or three like really good plays that he probably could have done at fullback as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like playing at 5'8" is what made the difference, is it?
Not at all. Yeah, he'll just play. Yeah, it's so true.
Because like that Bradman Besk, a try he set up in the trial for the Eels, like it did not matter that he was playing in the front line there. He could have definitely done it.
Not at all. Yeah.
That's an interesting one.
Strange.
All right. Let's move on to the third game. The Friday night game, Bluebet Stadium, Penrith Panthers for your Brisbane Broncos. This will be a very tough one for the Broncos.
It's going to be Penrith winning this, especially after the St. Helens game. A team like Penrith don't lose two games in a row. They'll be filthy with themselves for that, even though, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it probably didn't mean that much. But they'll come out to make a point. I think Broncos will be able to stay in it for a little bit. I don't think it's going to be like a blowout or anything. At least in the first 20 minutes, I reckon it'll be pretty competitive. Really keen to see Cobbo at fullback. I have my doubts as to whether or not it's a good idea to sort of grow him into a fullback eventually. I think that he's an out-and-out winger. I just don't know if he has the sort of lateral movement to be and the work ethic to be at like a dominant fullback. So I'm keen to see how we'll go because he's going up against the best of the best at fullback. So we'll see how he goes there. Jesse Arthurs comes in. He's solid. The thing that on the Broncos, and this is a big thing for them this season, is the health of Adam Reynolds, because I swear his body is very much sort of in decline at this point. Like after every game, there's always rumors that he's going to be out and he's sore and misses a lot of training sessions at this point now because his brain is up there with the best in the NRL, but I just don't know if his body is able to keep up with the season of NRL at this point. Do you see Broncos being competitive if Reynolds was to miss significant time this season?
Yeah, I do. They signed Jock Madden from the Tigers, and I actually really do rate Jock. He's I think he was underrated in a team that just wasn't really giving him much, and he actually even then had some good moments for us. So I think that it was a really good signing by Ben Aiken because, you know, I think you're right. I think you have to assume that Reynolds is going to miss some games at this point. It just looks like his body is at that stage in his career where he's always going to have some niggles at some point. Mm-hmm. So I really do reckon that Jock Madden will come in and do a good job for them.
Yeah, it should be good. And like the way that the Broncos play, some games when their whole team is on so much, like, you know, it could be a number of different players playing halfback. Like when they're on top the way they are, like it, like when they play some of those Suncorp games, when they're just a terrifying team.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe they will be fine. But this game here, I'm still going to back Penrith to win. Maybe not a massive smashing, but I think they'll get the job done.
Yeah, I'm going to back Penrith as well, just purely because I don't think they're going to lose two games in a home in a row for to start a season. I think that would be crazy, considering the Penrith that we've all come to expect. Interesting that Sione Tuirava, named on the wing to replace by Tyler May. It was rumoured that Jesse McLean was going to get that spot, the guy that lit up the trial with that amazing kick try.
Oh, yeah, so good.
So but
then Tuirava said, I want to go to the Tigers. And they're like, wait, we've got a spot for you now. Here you go.
I think that was, I might have jumped the gun a little bit on that rumor. I just got a little bit excited. But yeah, he's a good player. We kind of talked in the chat. You think he's a fullback, but I'm not 100% sure what his best position is yet, because he's just like built like that typical Fijian sevens player, isn't he? Like he's not particularly really tall, but he's just like really thick and strong and really quick.
I think just that I watched him play for Fiji, and just watching him at fullback, like he just pops up everywhere and keeps himself so busy and involved and looks so tough to tackle. And I feel like he's someone that could very much grow into being a very dangerous. His ceiling at fullback, I think, is insane.
Yeah, so maybe that's the one to keep an eye on. And also Luke Garner replaces Kekau for that edge back rower spot, which will be interesting. But yeah, as we said before, not very.
Why did he go with Hosking?
Well, I think they'll probably battle for the possession, possession like throughout the season. I'm not 100% sure that Luke Garner is going to keep it, because as you kind of alluded to, they are quite similar in what they bring to the table. But I think at this point it makes sense to start Garner, because you know he's got a lot more experience, to be fair, than Hosking at the moment.
Definitely.
All right.
Yeah, really keen. I'm keen to see when Peachy comes into the Panthers side, because it's just been so long since I've seen Peachy in a good team. It'll be interesting to see like what a difference maker he is.
Well, he's been named in the New South Wales Cup, so I don't think we're gonna have to wait a little bit longer.
It'll be a while, but like he'll come in at some point.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think he'll suit their style of play. He's too ad lib.
Yeah, he's too much of a, like, he does his own thing. Like, he's not really, like, because everything runs through Cleary, Yo, and Luai. And it would seem a little bit odd if he just got the ball and just, like, did a chip and chase or, like, a grubber to himself.
Yeah.
And went dead. Like, it just doesn't really seem like it fits, like, what Penrith do in attack.
Definitely. They'll definitely come him on as like a lock sort of role if they use him, but I assume we'll probably mostly see him around the origin period.
That's true, yeah.
He'd be a pretty handy halves replacement then.
Yeah, he'll be the 5'8" when everyone's at origin.
Yeah.
And they have to name like half the reserve grade team to play first grade because everyone just made Rip Footy.
So we've got me, you and Zach all are all saying Penrith.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the first game of Super Saturday. So it's the Manly Sea Eagles for the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs at Four Pines Park Stadium. Lovely ground. What do you feel for this one? Bulldogs, as we said before, Luke Thompson is out, which is a big blow for them. Manly look pretty good from the trials, even though a lot of their star players didn't play. What's your take on this one?
I think the Sea Eagles are going to win. I think that there's like a lot of core players that have played with each other for a long time. Bulldogs will take a little while to click, and they've got a lot of role players that will probably need to come in firing before it unleashes Burton and Mahoney and Kikau and that very dangerous left edge. I'm confident that the Sea Eagles are actually going to win this one. It's good to see Tommy Turbo back. Hopefully he's able to have like an injury-free season.
I hope so, dude. I drafted him in fantasy, so hopefully he scores.
You did too. You did. The only thing I'm a little bit iffy about, like, obviously there's the internal dramas at the Sea Eagles, which I'm still not sure are solved. And Seabold, I'm still not sure if he's the coach. In fact, I'm quite sure that he's not the guy to lead them out of the dramas. But the thing about Schuster, I know he's not playing this week, but Turbo, when he was paired with like the combination of Foran and Cherry Evans, were able to put him in the perfect spots, like in his perfect spots to succeed and like storm over to score. Whereas Schuster is a little bit more sort of eyes up footy. I know everyone's starting to hate that expression. And I'm not sure if he'll be necessarily great in terms of unlocking Turbo. So I'm interested to see how that'll go. Cooper Johns was really good in the trials, so I'm sure he can go out there and have a good game. I think that Seagulls will have enough to win this. But just going forward, that's a concern that I sort of have with them. On the note of the Bulldogs, I think it'll take a while to gel, especially when you've got, you know, a new nine and a new sort of edge combo on the left. Once they do click, they're going to be very, very deadly, but I think it'll take them a while.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think Foran is a big out for them. Just as you said, he put a lot of people in the right positions. He wasn't necessarily very flash with his own game, but he just makes a lot of the right positions that make other people look good. And yeah, that's going to be an interesting test for Cooper Johns, his first game away from the Storm. So hopefully he takes the opportunity with both hands. And it's an interesting one because like you look at both teams and they've got a few unknowns. I think Manly's forward pack is still a little bit unknown for me. I'm not too sure they're a safe bet yet. But then you look at the Bulldogs and they've got a really good team on paper, but you look at some like really key positions. Like I don't think Hayes Perham's, I'm not sure if he's got what it takes to be a fullback for the entire season. Like I'm sure he'll get better. But when he was at the Eels, he was a backup fullback, but mostly played on the wing and centre when he played first grade. So it's a big ask. And then Kyle Flanagan, I think he really does need to fire this season. Like, because he's probably not going to stay at the Bulldogs, but just to even secure another spot for...
Is this a contract year for him?
Yeah, I'm not 99% sure he comes off contract. Because he did sign a three-year deal back in the end of 2020, was it? So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me just double check that. So, yeah, it's a big year for him. And I'm just not so sure that he'll be able to do it. So that puts a lot of pressure on Barden and that left edge that I was talking about before. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I'm keen to see it. I think this game will be really close. I think it's going to be decided in like the last 10 or so minutes.
Yeah. So, yeah, Flanagan's off contract at the end of this year.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to go.
See how he does this.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Tom Tavoyevich to score a double and Manly to win.
Oh, that'd be exciting. I'm going to go Turbo to not score in his return game and Seagulls to win off the back of grit and grind and him not being a star because it'll be good for them to be able to win without relying heavily on him.
Yeah, 100% agree. What does Zach tip?
Zach tipped, let's have a look, Manly.
Yeah, all right, we're very boring at this pod, but we're all agreeing with each other.
Yeah, we are. We should disagree more. Let's we'll wait till the last game of the round.
We save that for off the pod.
yeah we do.
All right, moving on to the next game, the North Queensland Cowboys v the Canberra Raiders up there in North Queensland.
Yeah, it's hard to be super high on the Raiders after the trials.
Tigers.
Yeah. What's going on with Papali'i? Is he injured?
Yeah, apparently he injured himself in the warm-up of the Tigers trial, but he still played anyway. Yeah, he hasn't been named. So apparently it was a knee injury, which isn't great. So, yeah, it's a big out for them, especially going up there in North Queensland and where they were so consistent last season.
Yeah, they're going to be good. They're going to be like, yeah, I'm a bit worried for the Raiders in this. I don't think it's going to be a good start to the year. I think they're all going to be copping a Ricky Stewart spray at halftime.
Yep.
I'm not sure where the Raiders are at this current moment, but I'm confident that the Cowboys will come out with a point to prove because they're going to be vicious.
I cannot believe James Tamou made their 17. That's wild. But yeah, I'm going to accept the Cowboys as well. And the Raiders losing Xavier Savage while he's probably not you know, a superstar fullback yet. I think it's made a bit of a hole in the roster because Sebastian Chris is clearly a center. And, you know, they're probably, and then they've got Danny Levi playing hooker. So it's a lot of pressure on Jack Whedon and Jamal Fogarty, isn't it, to facilitate for other people. So, yeah.
I'm sure. And Fogarty at the most time is an organizational half. Like he's, when like teams are up in his face, he's, you know, not, he relies on a lot of other things to go right to unlock his kicking game.
Yeah, he's very mid, I think is what you're trying.
He's like, yeah, he's a bit mid. Solid kicking game though.
Yeah. Is Zach going Cowboys as well?
Zach sure is going Cowboys. Very interesting. Yeah, it is interesting that James Harmer is playing off the bench. That is, it's gonna be interesting. Keen to see Sebastian Chris as well. I find it really funny that Jordan Rapana has requested to not play fullback. You usually hear about players jumping at the opportunity, but he's like, I'm too old. Let me just stay on the wing. Yeah, we'll score tries and not tackle.
Yeah, you can't blame him, can you? Honestly. No,
he's not a good fullback either. Like he's a serviceable winger.
Yeah, that's bad.
I swear, like he has more high tackles than anyone and like shoulder charges to the head than anyone else in the comp.
He's got a very aggressive technique, doesn't he? Like he doesn't really leave much room for error. Like either
I'll remember him scoring like crazy amounts of tries and being sin binned more than any other winger and running off with that scowl on his face, like he's surprised he's been sent off.
Yeah, because I don't know, like I reckon it's kind of coached as well. Like Ricky Stewart would tell him, like, just throw yourself at him, like to stop the try. And I feel like a lot of fullbacks these days are kind of told just to be really careful because of the like the potential 8-point try. I don't know, it's interesting. But yeah, he's like a lot of people have kind of changed their technique over the last few years because Sam Bennings have went up like exponentially, but he is not one of those people.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So yeah, Raiders winning there. It all looks pretty stock standard as of right now. Like we're not really tipping any upsets.
No, we're not. All right, do you want to move on to the third Saturday night game?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we got the Cronulla Sharks at PointsBet Stadium v the South Sydney Rabbitohs. And they actually, these two teams had a cracking encounter last year towards the end of the season where it was at Shark Park. So I'm going to be really interested to see how this one goes for them. Both teams, nothing really surprising, but both teams to be expected. Nothing like no shock selections. Very similar to the teams that played each other in the finals last year, except obviously Hines is out. Braden Trendle to replace him, so that's not great for the Sharks. It seems a little bit grim for them this game without their Dally M player of the year.
I'm not huge on the Sharks bench either. I think it's interesting that Wade Graham's coming off the bench. I'd actually either have him in the 13 or not at all. I don't really think he's the type of player to come off the bench and add impact.
I think he's good for utility value because you can come in and play in the half.
That's a good point.
Back row.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting game. I've got Souths winning, especially with Hines being out. I think that they're going to be that they just looked so all in sync against the Dragons and the Charity Shield. So I'm tipping the Rabbitohs to have a very potent attack early on. Hopefully, they put Isaac Thompson over for a few.
Yeah, I'm going to tap the Bunnies as well for this one. I think there'll be too much.
Such a balanced team. Zach has actually gone against the Bunnies and he's tipped the Sharks this round.
Do you know that Haynes isn't playing?
I don't know. He just says, he said, he wanted me to make a point that he knows he's a diehard Bunnies fan, but he just cannot see them winning this opening game. So,
wow.
All right. That's fair enough, Zachy. I'm just talking absolute rubbish. He's obviously tipped the Bunnies as he always does. Yeah, man's got overconfidence in his team. The man tipped his team to beat Penrith in the grand final. Come on.
And that's when they were playing like pretty poorly as well.
Yeah.
You could tell like there wasn't any substance in his eyes though, was there? Like there wasn't any more connection when he said
we'll win. I think we can. It's like, do you?
Do you really? In the darkest corner of your soul, do you think that you can win?
there should be a new shade of black invented for the color of the bags under Zach's eyes after the grand final loss.
Yeah,
that was a
Oh God, that was bad. They got so close as well. Like, I feel like the team that wins, that loses the kind of final, just doesn't get any credit at all, do they? For like getting that great season, but
not at all. You're remembered for whatever stuff ups you made in the grand final.
Yep.
No one talks about the Brisbane Broncos and how well they did the season of the grand final. They talk about Ben Hunt dropping the ball. That's what you,
yeah,
like Cody Walker passing that intercept.
Yep. I can still see Zach's Snapchat after where he was in tears. Like,
do you reckon he's watched the highlights of that game since?
Nah, I wouldn't. Probably, I definitely wouldn't. Would you?
I reckon he would, but he'd stop it just as Cody's about to pass it. And yeah, he likes to imagine that it goes straight to Alex Johnson's chest and they score.
Yeah, because I remember that, like, they were within 2 points. And it, like, because Adam Reynolds, he slotted a 2-point field goal that season against the Tigers. And I just thought, like, yeah, he's going to nail this. And he absolutely shanked it in the ground, which is so annoying because he didn't do it against the Tigers. But yeah, unlucky for him. I feel bad for Zach. He's copping it tonight.
He is. Yeah. Oh, that's right. He'll cuddle up and give this a listen. It'll make him feel better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. While the footy's on, all right. Do you want to move on to everyone's second favorite team?
Yeah. The Roosters, the Dolphins. No, yeah.
I don't know. Baby, that's what we're doing.
Shins up. And Nick Henson's new favorite team. How good.
Yeah, absolutely. So, no, this is tough. When I saw the draw, when I saw it came out, I immediately looked to see who the Dolphins were playing first, and it just had to be the Sydney Roosters, didn't it?
It's so rough for them.
It is, honestly. At least Joseph Manu is not playing.
And yeah,
the Roosters didn't see the need.
Yeah, they're like, we'll rest him. We don't need to. The thing about the Dolphins is I feel like they're not even going to be like entertainingly bad. That I don't think they're going to be an interesting team to watch. It'll be interesting to see how they go, but I don't imagine just from the eye test that they'll be a particularly fascinating team to watch. Just not sold on the hammer at fullback.
That trial.
Asako getting a starting spot. I can't believe that. Whoever scores the first try for the Dolphins is not going to be like a club legend in the future. Like Jermaine Asako, Branko Lee, Tessie Neu. It's going to be someone that fans go, oh, yeah, him, when they look back. That's if they score. Do you reckon they'll score this game?
I reckon they'll score. They will score a try, I reckon. Because it's an inaugural game. They'll be G'd up. Wayne Bennett's a great coach. I don't think they'll win, that's for sure. But it's interesting because I think you kind of touched on it either earlier. That trial against the Titans, their edge was just absolutely destroyed. Wow, and this is the Roosters as well we're talking about. So they're going to do the exact same thing. But it's interesting. Isaiah Katoa got the 5-8 spot over Anthony Milford. He's an extremely rated player, played for Tonga in the World Cup. So I'm going to be very interested to see how he goes, but he's got no tougher challenge, does he, than the Sydney Roosters for his debut. And no Joseph Manu either, replaced by the mighty Corey Allen, who Zach loves as well. And Jackson Paulo, they're going to line up in the same edge. So that's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, wow, that's certainly interesting. I feel like if they're going to score, it's going to be down that edge, that side.
Yeah, it's interesting. Imagine if they got Corey Allen. Imagine if they got Dom Young. I don't think they will, but imagine if they got Dom Young this season.
You don't reckon that? Oh, because he signed for next season, hasn't he?
Yeah, he signed for 2024, so he'll definitely be there. But I don't think that it looks like the Knicks aren't going to release him this season, which makes sense.
Could you imagine if Jackson Paulo scored like a try in the grand final between the Roosters and the Bunnies to win it?
I honestly reckon Zach would have like a migraine. Like he would just lose it.
He would change to AFL. He just couldn't.
Yeah. It's a theater. He'd become like a Wicked fan and just follow them all over the world when they like do their plays and musicals.
Can I get a score prediction for this game from you?
All right. So I reckon it will be 36-8.
Okay.
So yeah.
I'm predicting, yeah, like 42-4.
It's hard because like round ones aren't usually a blowout, even when you have like a really good team versus a not so good team, because you know you've like focused on this game like pretty much all off season, so teams usually do turn up for this one, but yeah, they just don't have enough class anywhere near it for me.
Yeah, I'm there too, and Zach has obviously gone with the Roosters as well.
Yep. And the next one, the Jamal Idris Cup, where me and Rutkin's friendship for the day just goes away. And if he messaged me talking shit, I might just lose.
Absolutely. Me and Declan have agreed to no longer talk shit, and we don't even rub it in each other's faces depending on who wins now, because it's been a toxic few years, and we now know where we stand and how passionate we are when our teams lose. Mm. How do you obviously you have different emotions depending on the team, but like if you remove me and some of our mates that go for the Titans, how do you usually feel versing the Titans? Are they a team that get under your skin when you lose to, or is it just because of your mates that it bothers you?
We usually don't play Gold Coast teams. We don't usually play Queensland teams enough during a season to kind of like have a rivalry going. Like, we only really play each other like once, or like, you know, we do play sometimes twice. I think we did in 2021, we played each other twice. But honestly, like, nothing really comes to mind in terms of, you know, getting annoyed. It's more you and Potter, particularly Potter, because he's so annoying. Honestly, it's like talking to a brick wall sometimes with him. But and apparently the Tigers haven't won against the Titans in Sydney since 2011. So we're definitely due for a win, I reckon.
I'm telling you, I really think we've been a bogey team for you over the last few years. Like, there's been times where you guys have had like the better squads, but I just feel like you guys have struggled to beat us in recent years, to be honest. I've got you guys winning this game, as much as it pings me off to say it. I think you never want to verse the team who came last the previous year in round one, especially at Leichhardt. I think the Tigers are going to be fired up, ready to prove and make a point. New additions like Clemmer, just stealing up that forward pack, Papali'i, captain Appy Korosau. I'm still not sure that was the right call to make him captain. Even despite the comments that he made and the fact that he's new to the club, I don't really see him as like a captain sort of guy. Like, I don't see leadership material in him, but I don't think it'll make that much of a difference. I think you guys are going to be good. I don't love your bench, to be honest. Twal's a workhorse, but yeah, I'm not sure. I think you're going to win this in your 13. What I'm anticipating is if it's a sort of even game to the point where subs start coming on, I can see the Titans getting the upper hand there, because I think we've got a bit more sting in our bench with like Clark and Campbell and Fotowaker coming on. But I think you guys will get ahead early and you guys will be G'd up for it. And if you guys, I think whoever scores first in this game is going to go a long way to winning with the momentum of it. And yeah, interested to just to see how this game really could be anything. This is the one game. It's very hard to get a read on what it's going to be like.
See, I actually reckon that we have the stronger bench, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I reckon that if we can absorb the X factor from Fifita and Tino at the start of the game, particularly the first 20 minutes, if we can absorb them and limit them, I reckon that'll go a long way to winning the game. Because if when Twal and Finupo come on, they're really fit forwards and they'll get through a lot of work. And I think that they could definitely out-muscle guys like Fotowaker and then Aaron Clark, and obviously Joe Simpson just keeps me up at night, but, you know, so that'll be an interesting one. But, I think it's going to be interesting. I can definitely see both teams winning this one, but I think just because it's at Leichhardt, and Tim Sheens, when he was in his first stint with the club, he was absolutely huge on winning games at Leichhardt, so I reckon they'll be revved up for this. And we did defend quite well against the Raiders. I think I know they did lose. The Raiders did take away their first stringers, like, in the second half, but I think we still defended well enough in that first half for me to be somewhat confident. But I think it'll be a close one, like probably like 2-4 points in it.
Okay. Yeah, it should be interesting. The Tigers defense in the trial, especially their edge defense, really impressed me. And the Titans looked at their best in the Dolphins trial going to those edges. So if you can sort of shut that down, I can imagine us struggling. If this game was at Seabus, I probably would lean towards tipping the Titans, but I just think those first games where it's just such a grind and combinations aren't quite set yet. And I think the crowd and the new coach will G up the Tigers for a close but comfortable win.
Yeah, no John Bateman, unfortunately. I was kind of hoping that he would be a sneaky inclusion for that last bench spot, but it wasn't
too late, though, wasn't it? Like, it's so soon to the...
I don't know, like... It's interesting because, like, obviously we don't know, like, how fit he is. You'd like to assume that he was training on his own, but yeah, just to get, like, accustomed to the team, and, you know, he wouldn't have done any contact training since the World Cup, so it's a bit of a risk. But yeah, hopefully he is back soon.
Who have you got as first try scorer in this one?
I'm gonna go David Knopfler. Gonna go Charlie Staines. I reckon Charlie Staines.
I've got Knopfler for my first try scorer.
Yeah, I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. I'm gonna. I think it's really, like, on one hand, it's really important not to get carried away with red one, because naturally it's the game that you have the most time to think about, isn't it? But at the end of the day, it probably doesn't mean that much in terms of your season. But for the Tigers, they only have three games at Leichhardt this season, and the first two are round one and two. And the next week is against the Knights, who they have Jackson Hastings. So on one hand, I don't want to, like, get too up for this game because, you know, it's only one game. But on the other hand, like, we do need to win, like, one out of the first two games.
I think if the Titans are to be competitive in this and put ourselves in a position to win it, Kieran Foran and Boyd are going to be so important. Foran needs to be crisp and clean, and Tana needs to keep his errors low and test the line out with his running game. I think that's what we've got to do. So yeah, should be interesting there. I am going against the Titans. I always do tip with my head. Zach is going with the Titans. He thinks they're going to win.
Wow.
So that's the first. Aside from the Storm game, Zach's the only. Me and Declan have tipped the exact same the entire week. Sort of like that round one, though, because you can't really go off anything except last year for round one and signings and stuff. So, like, it's the teams that have started to make upsets and stuff don't settle into round two or three.
Yeah, you don't really have a form line, do you, yet?
No, not at all. Who did you end up tipping as your Daily M prediction? You think it's going to be Cody Walker?
Yeah, I tap Cody Walker.
Okay. I've got one question for you before we... I'll give you my ruck and crystal ball prediction for the round. Who is your prediction for someone to make crack into Origin this year?
Oh, that's a good one. I think that... I reckon Joseph Suoliti will play Origin this year for New South Wales and for Queensland. See, they're usually a lot better because, you know, they've got a really good team, but their depth isn't always amazing. So when they have an injury, they'll probably do with someone. And who do I reckon from then that could be good? Oh, I'd have to think about it. Is there anyone that comes to mind for you?
I think if some injuries happen, I can see Bo Firma making his Queensland debut for...
Yeah, that's a good pick.
I back him. That's... A lot of people say Hines. I don't really think Hines his game style suits Origin.
Yeah, I think it's a tough one because if Cleary goes down, I think that you would probably want to go Mitchell Moses just because their games are more similar than to Hines. But I think Hines would be good, but you'd probably have to, like, kind of readjust.
You'd have to start him, though. I don't back him coming on as a 14.
I don't know. Like, he did a good job at the Storm being a 14. Won a comp with them.
Yeah, but it's just a different type of game in Origin. I don't know. We'll have to see. I'd be very happy for him if he did. I'm not sure if there's been a Dally M before that hasn't played Origin or represented his country before. So it'd be very interesting if Hines sort of goes down as the first.
Yeah.
Did Ben Barber play Origin?
No.
He didn't, okay.
Also, I reckon someone like Jojo Fafita could be a Queensland holder.
Those Union boys know how to tackle, don't they?
They do. They know how to chop
you. Come over from Union, you just, like, I don't know what it is, but just, like, outside backs that have come from Union, you can just rely that they're good and solid defensively, whereas some of the like, people that have grown up playing league are very shanky at first.
Yeah. I think it's just because, you're probably top, like, to tackle lower in Union, but in league, like, you're kind of taught to tackle a bit higher. And I think sometimes in the wing, when you come up high, you're easier to get bumped off. But if you chop someone, you know, like, they can offload the ball, but at the same time, if you really get them, you know, it kills off the play pretty successfully.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be a big, big round. I'm keen to watch every game. I'm very excited. Keen to see who wins the Jamal Idris Cup. I think we do get to play you guys twice this year, don't we? We'll be going up to Seabus midway through the season.
We've won 10 in a row.
Yeah, oh, I'll be more worried about bursting you then when Bateman's got some games under his belts and you guys become even stronger.
Yeah, big job. Yeah,
very exciting. My crystal ball prediction for this round, I thought about this, but I've forgotten it now. Let me have another think. I'm going to stick with my prediction that I said earlier. I think up until round 10, Rabbitohs won't be in the top eight.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this? Come round 10, Rabbitohs won't be in the top eight.
Okay. And can I have an over-under on how many games Jermaine Spry is going to play
this season? Jermaine Spry, including or not including Origin?
Including Origin.
Including Origin. They'll probably give him a few months rest just to regather his powers. I reckon Jermaine Spry will play over 10 games.
All right.
He'll score plenty of meat pies through sheer creativity on the wing.
And will Regan Campbell-Gallup, will he have a big feast before the Easter Sunday game again?
We'll have to see. We'll have to see his form going into it. Okay. I'm very excited.
Okay.
Yeah, on that note, up the mighty Titans, up the mighty Tremaine Spry.
Up the Tigers. Please, God, we need this.